Well, good morning. Good to see you today. That rain was something, wasn't it? Yeah. Rain this morning? Okay, I just thought it was just me. It is good to be here this morning at Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives, as Dom has already shared. And hopefully, if you're even visiting with us today, or eventually you may listen to this message online, that you would just check us out just several times to see that this is truly that place where we allow God to change hearts and minds and people who want to be wholly devoted to Him. Amen? Amen. We are continuing in our series, Summer in the Psalms. And I don't know about you, but for me, I've learned a couple things about David. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement and an example to follow as I've been listening to these chapters in Psalms that we've been looking at each and every week. And I don't know about you, but when the psalm begins, or that prayer of David begins, it's a prayer that is saying, God, here is my issue, here's my dilemma. And then he goes on and he says, listen, this is what is happening, but I know how good you are, God, and I know where my confidence lies. And finally, he concludes, and really he's saying, for me, what I'm getting from it is, I know where my hope is. And I know that one day, you and I, Lord, will be together forever. And I don't know where you are with that. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. And I don't know if those are some things you've learned. But those are just a couple of things that I've learned as we began this series back in July. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 41. So Dom already mentioned, if you'd like to follow along, there's an outline in the church bulletin, which is FY, and it's a yellow outline. And also, there are Bibles in the back, if you'd like to follow along there. We're going to be, again, looking at Psalm chapter 41. So if you want to turn there, we're going to get to it in just a minute. But I don't know if any of you know much about weightlifting. No? Okay. I don't know much either, but I do know that when you've heard about, you know, I've had times where I struggle with weight and I'm just a big guy, but there was what I've learned is that, you know, to really have a healthy body, you need to have what's called, you know, your weightlifting, or it's like that tension. You know, you want to get those muscles toned, and then you have the cardio, which is the walking or running, and then you have to have a healthy diet. So one of the things that I learned about weightlifting, especially with free weights, if you're going to bench press, is that you need what is called a spotter. And what a spotter does is that spotter will stand behind you when you're on the bench. And as you're bringing that weight down, if you begin to struggle, I'm going to ask Chuck to come up. He's going to help me. Now, as you can see, I don't have a bench, but I'm going to do a different exercise, which is not going to work on my chest, but it's going to work a little on my shoulders. So let me get ready here. You want to wear one? No, you okay? All right. So I'm going to put on my sweatbands here. I want to look the look here. There we go. All right. So Chuck, what I need for you to do is I need you to stand behind me. Okay? So these are just simple 20-pound weights. And what I'm going to do, oh gosh, I haven't done this in a while. But anyway, as I lift, I'm doing good. Chuck, you're talking to me. You're saying, you know, you could do this, Jeff. You only got three. Come on, louder, Chuck. Come on. Yell at me, Chuck. Make it worth it. Come on, yell at me. Say, Jeff, oh, I'm struggling a little now, Chuck. Now, Chuck, I'm having a little bit of a hard time. So, Chuck, what I need for you to do, don't push down. What we're going to do, Chuck, is as I start to lift, what I need for you to do is tap on my shoulders up, okay? So start to, no, not my shoulders, my elbows. Get it right. See, you can tell I haven't done this in a while. But really tap them. Help me up. Just tap. No, don't push up. Just help, because I got to do it. Keep tapping. And keep talking. You can do it. Yeah. All right. So I begin to do those reps. And if I need help, Chuck, I need help. Chuck. All right. There we go. And so Chuck is able to be, thank you, Chuck. Let's give Chuck a big hand. So why I share that, especially with bench pressing, could you imagine having like about 180 pounds and you're laying down and it's on you, and sometimes you even have to have two spotters for those individuals to be able to pick up that weight for you. And I think about with the psalm that we're going to be looking at today, God supporting us. And we can ask ourselves, when has there been a time when we felt like the weight of the world was on us and there was no one there, or so we thought, but yet we want to look to God to be our support, looking to God to be our spotter. As we look in Psalm 41 this morning, we see here that David is now the king of Israel. But at the same time, David is very sick. Now, We don't know what he's sick from, but David is saying that his illness is in relation to the sin in his life. But we don't know what that is either. At the same time, with David being king of Israel, he's going to have enemies. And so these enemies know that he's on his deathbed or he's very ill. And they're wishing for him to die. Even his closest friend that he speaks of, as we're going to read, abandons him. But yet, as we're going to see again here in Psalm chapter 41, that David's prayer is another prayer of confidence in who his support is, and that is God. And for us this morning, for those of us who are Christ followers, we have to understand that we are not unaffected by the things that go on, not only in our lives, but in this world. You think about poverty. You think about disease. You think about the economy, job loss, strained relationships. We're not immune to that. But yet we can be affected by the support that God offers us in our times of need. So let's open up God's word together, Psalm 41. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then I'd like to just share just a couple of things that we can take with us this morning about God supporting us and being our spotter. Beginning with verse 1, it says this: "Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. I said, O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it abroad. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has beset him, and he will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, we have sang praises to you, worshiped you through song. Lord, we worshiped you through giving. Now we want to worship you through your word. May these words that are spoken be from you. May our hearts be penetrated this morning. Lord, may we learn from the life of David. Lord, may we learn that you truly will support us. Father, I pray that as we just hear, that it's not just another message we are listening to. It's not about any of us, but about what you've done for us. Lord, our desire is to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just give the hurts and the pains and the troubles, the joys, the celebrations to you this morning. Father, we even pray for joy. Lord, she needs her home sold. We pray that you would bring people to buy that home. Lord, we pray for just even families and individuals here in transition. Lord, we pray that they would look to you. Lord, and when it seems like all things are out of control, Lord, you know all things. And you know that you work them for the good. Father, we believe that today. And that we may leave here a changed people, not because we heard something nice, but Lord, you have touched our hearts. And we said yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here that David, being someone who, listen, I'm not doing too well. Listen, I have people who are wishing harm on me. Listen, my closest friend deserted me. And yet he still turned to the Lord. And still he said, my hope is in you. You are my rock. You are my refuge. And Lord, I know that I will spend eternity with you. So for us this morning, what does it look like for us, for God to be our spotter? For God to give us the support we need when we need it? If you're following along in the outline this morning, there's two things that I'd like to share that I believe that for myself, I'm learning to believe more and more each day. And the first thing here is, having God as a spotter is this. God's support restores and protects. God's support restores and protects. As king, as we saw in the very first few verses here, that David, his job as king was to defend the powerless. And we see here that in turn, David knew that God would do that for him. David, again, I don't know if you've noticed, there's one word that's been going probably every message: confident. So David here is confident that God will restore him. And for us today, God will give us just what we need. Let me say that again. God will give us just what we need. Because sometimes, I know I do, there's things I want. But yet God gives us just what we need because he knows what is best for each and every one of us. And when we rely on him, when we seek him, take time with him, he will give us the inner strength to get through any difficult time. And what begins to happen is we begin to grow into a deeper relationship with him as we allow him to support us and to care for us. To take that time daily in his word, practicing it, believing it, living it. Moses said in Deuteronomy 6:24, he says, "The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees." Moses in chapter 6 went to say, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and everything that you are, all that you have, love him." And these truths, these commands that God has given us, let us live by them. Let us pass them on to our children, to generation, so that they know who God is, the God who supports us. So he continues on, "The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today." Again, the thread, David's confidence, but yet for us, the common thread is to continue to follow all of God's ways, his commands, not his suggestions, his commands in his word. God, again, blesses those who are obedient. And again, he disciplines us when we are disobedient. Why? Because he loves us, because that's who he is. And again, as Chick asked several weeks ago, are we knowing that, believing, and practicing the things of God? Are we trusting God without wavering? David continues in verses 4 to 6. He goes on and prays that God would have mercy on him and heal him, because he said, listen, this sickness is due to sin. And again, we don't know what that sin is. I had a couple of theories, and I was talking with Steve Obad about it, and he said, well, I don't think that was it. But yet, we don't know. But yet he believed that he was very sick because of what he had done against God. And again, his enemies, there was people who were wishing harm on him. And we have had that probably in our own lives. There were people who wish bad things on us. It's just the broken world that we live in. We can think of even events where people wished harm and acted out harmful things to others. And yet here, David is dealing with the unacknowledged sin in his life. For him, this was a physical and psychological thing that was devastating to him. And for us today, sin is the sickness of the soul. And yet, sometimes we have things in our lives that we continue to do. Sometimes I am guilty of doing. And yet we see it as something normal. Oh, it's just I do it. And sometimes we justify it or try to make excuses for it. And yet those who are around us, who love us and care for us, are seeing that it is not normal. It's the sickness of our souls. And yet what happens is the good thing is full confession for us brings us blessed relief. Because God's pardoning mercy heals it, and God's renewing grace also heals it. Again, taking time in the Word, praying to him, having people in our lives that sometimes can point out those things. We may not even know that we're doing anything wrong. And yet I think of David, and he had someone in his life, Nathan, who pointed out the sin in his life. Someone who loved him, someone who spoke truth into his life, challenged him, and quite honestly, poked him in the eyes. Do we have those people in our lives
who will do that for us, to speak the truth in love, to share with us what you're doing is not normal. And yet for David here, he went to the Lord. How often do we go to the Lord and say, God, what is it? Is there anything in my heart that breaks your heart? Is there anything that I'm doing, anything that I'm saying, how I'm living, is it breaking your heart? And yet it's those ways through his word. My grandfather always said, it is sin that keeps me from this book, God's word, and it is this book that keeps me from sin. And taking that time with him each and every day. And it meant a lot to me. I actually have it written in front of my Bible. That each time that I begin to do the things that break the heart of God, it's because I'm not taking time with him. And I think that's normal. And yet God is saying to each and every one of us, listen, there may be things. You may think that you got it going on and everything's fine. And then boom. I remember Tim sharing that. We're one phone call away. We're one email away from things changing for us. And it's the same thing. Sin so easily ensnares us. It may look pretty at the beginning, but it's always a downward spiral. But yet God is saying, listen, come to me. I'm here to support you. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to restore you. But you have a job. I have a job to do, and that is to obey his commands and to live for him and love him with all that I am and all that I have. So if God being a spotter, our spotter, and that he does restore and protect us, the question that we can ask ourselves is, what part of our hearts then need to be fixed? What part of our hearts need to be fixed? Are we confident that God will and he can restore and protect us? We have to ask ourselves, is there, God, any unacknowledged sin in my life that I need to bring to you? And when we confess and repent of those sins in our lives, knowing that he is our support, there is freedom. What I appreciate about David is that we hear that the term David was a man after God's own heart, right? Yeah. David was a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, but because he knew when he sinned, he brought it before God humbly and brokenheartedly and confessed that sin to him because he knew who his support was. He knew who would restore and protect him. So if God's support restores and protects, the second thing is that God's support doesn't let us down. God's support doesn't let us down. David went on in verses 7 and 9 to talk about, again, his enemies were wishing him dead, spewing lies and slander. But yet what was interesting is that his closest friend is the one who left him. I don't know about you, if you've had a friend who's ever abandoned you, or a situation where they walked away from you. Maybe because you even did the right thing, you lost them. I remember that even for my own self. When I lived in Georgia, I worked for a steel company. And there was guys that I hung out with and outside of work. And then when Tina and I were going to be married, I said, I'd love for you guys. I mean, we did a lot of stuff together outside of work. We went to NASCAR and we did all kinds of neat fishing. I didn't do much fishing, but, you know, they taught me how to hunt other than with a truck. But at the end of the day, I shared with them, I said, we would love for you to be a part of our meeting, our wedding. And they said, hey, are you going to be serving alcohol? I said, no, we're not going to be. You know, not one of them came. They said, if there's not alcohol, then I'm not coming. I thought, wow. Now, that's not as deep as David's friend here. But yet these people who I was close with, that I did life with, but yet there wasn't that connection spiritually. And so, I'm not saying that this is the case here, but I thought, wow, what kind of friend is that? Is that there has to be a stipulation, there has to be a condition. And yet David was dealing with this as well. David's close friend, it said in the commentary that this friend probably shared the king's table. And not only that, that this was a friend who was honored and trusted. And David may have even sealed his friendship with the covenant. And in those days, there was a celebration, and it was expressed through a meal. This is my good friend. We're going to do things together. We are tight. We are blood brothers. But yet at the same time, in those days, abandonment was common when it looked like God's favor wasn't on someone. So imagine David on his deathbed and his best friend's like, see you later, it was nice knowing you. When things get better, I may come back. But yet his closest friend abandoned him. But yet God's support doesn't let us down. Jesus also experienced the same thing as David did. It says in John 13:18, Jesus said, I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus' closest friends abandoned him, denied him, and betrayed him. And yet, in all that, being falsely accused of things that he did not do, not only that, but Jesus even experienced hostility from his enemies. But for us, despite all that, he went to Calvary. He went and still gave his life for each and every one of us so that man could be reconciled with God. And eternal life is available to all those who believe that Jesus Christ has done that for each and every one of us. Even in the midst of the 12, the closest ones saying goodbye. I didn't think it was going to be this much. But yet he still went to the cross for both you and I. And if we think about it, listen, we've let people down too, right? And others have let us down. But when those times, when those who let us down and fail us, that is our opportunity to rely on God more and more. Because again, of the broken world we live in, of the human condition, our human hearts, we will fail one another. But the beauty of a community of faith is the grace and the forgiveness that is there. That when we do drop the ball, when we do fail each other, we can extend the grace and forgiveness as Christ has extended to us. And yet, this reminds us, when God never lets us down, is that God's reliability reminds us of how faithful he is in the midst of when we're faithless to him. Because we've let God down at times. We sometimes, and myself, I don't love him with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, everything that I am. But it's in those times that he says, I am still there for you. When everyone else leaves, when everyone else deserts, when everyone else says, well, unless you have, he is still there. And he proved that again on Calvary. So if God's support doesn't let us down, we can ask ourselves this question. What barriers are keeping us from relying on God? What barriers are keeping us from relying on God? Is it that we're unsure of God's faithfulness to us? Do we even sense God's reliability in our lives? Or are we afraid that God will let us down? But yet God's truths say that he will never let us down. He will never leave us. He will never forget about us. My good friend says that when we believe God's truth, it's not this much. It's not this much. It's all or nothing. And yet, again, when we look at the cross of Calvary, for Christ, it was all or nothing. Because he wanted to please his Father and honor him with giving of his life. As we said, even in our personal lives, with our families, in our business lives, our friendships, we all know that we'll blow it. And sometimes we blow it big time. But yet we can prove ourselves as a person after God's own heart by continuing to rely on him, rely on his support. Not only God's support, but the people that he's given here at Hope. That we can be people who continue to humbly confess our sins to him and to one another, to support each other, and to be able to be people who God has called and asked us to be. So having God as a spotter, having his support to restore us and support us, Having God as a spotter, that God's support will never let us down. We can ask ourselves this morning, if you're a follower of Christ today, I would encourage you to continue to allow God to be your spotter. Continue to allow Him to be your support. Allow Him to be your soul defender, your soul supporter, and your soul healer. Ask God. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. But ask Him to expose the unacknowledged sin in your life, in our lives, so that we confess and repent of it, so that we can live in freedom, and that we can live a blessed life freely. This morning, you may not have that relationship with Jesus Christ. But then I would ask this question. If you were on that weight bench, and you had the weight on you, and it was pressing down on your chest, and you were having a hard time breathing, and you couldn't get that weight up, and you looked up, who would be there? Who would be there? Would it be yourself? Would it be God tapping your elbows or lifting that weight up and saying, I can be your soul support. I can be your soul defender. And I can be your soul healer. I shared just a few moments ago that it was through Christ's death on the cross that gives us eternal life if we choose so. And if that's where you are this morning and you're saying, you know what? I've been following the Lord for a long time, but it's just the weight of the world is dragging me down. And you know, I haven't turned to Him in a while for support. Today is the day to say, Lord, I have not looked to You as my spotter. I have not looked to You as support. And it may be that, again, you may not have that relationship with Him, but today He is willing to tap your elbows, to pull that weight up. And again, He proved that when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us. We even have here today communion as we observe it. When we observe communion is for those who have professed a faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not that we're excluding anyone, but this is for those who have said yes to Him. And we observe His death, His body that was broken, and His blood that was shed for each and every one of us. I'm going to ask that the ushers come forward as we prepare. I'm going to ask Andrew to come and just play quietly. And as they're doing that, again, just asking yourselves, who is my support? In times of trouble, in times of need, is the weight of the world just taking me out and I've lost all control? Maybe this morning it's not an issue of control, but maybe it's an issue of just letting go and allowing God to work in your heart and in your life. This morning as we take time just to reflect, it may be that it's the confession of sin. For those of us who are in Christ, we've been made right with Him through the shedding of Christ's blood. But it may be that unacknowledged sin. It may be issues with others and making that right with one another. I don't know where you are with that today. But we do say that we want to observe Christ's death and celebrate what He's done for us. Because as David said, at the end of the day, I will be with you forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just come before You this morning. And Lord, we just ask that as we've heard Your truths today, Father, we come and we observe communion. Father, You know our hearts and You know where we are when it comes to the weight that's on us. Lord, You know the things that so easily entangle us. Father, we come to this table as well, Lord, just thanking You for what You have done for us. Lord, I pray as we take of the bread and partake of the juice, Father, that we remember and are grateful and thankful for what You've done. And that we don't just do it to do it because everybody else is. But it's because our hearts are in tune with You. And our lives are a lifestyle of worship to You, honoring You in all that we do. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life so that we may have life eternal. Father, my prayer is that even for those who may not have a relationship with You this morning, that today would be a day of freedom. that today would be a day of salvation, that they would turn to you as their true support. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.